What can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco. Episode 17. Thanks for listening. It's Friday, so let's just get straight into it. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday! You know what it is.
Yeah.
It's Breakfast Burrito Friday! Friday! Get your burrito! Such a better mood today than I was last week when I was recording Friday's episode. I was grumpy, man. I was grumpy at the world. I was just grumpy at everything. And today is so much better. So have yourself a breakfast burrito. Treat yourself just because you made it to Friday. And that is something worth celebrating. So celebrate with a breakfast burrito because really there's just no better way to go about it. So happy Breakfast Burrito Friday to you guys. So this is my first and only episode this week. I normally do two episodes per week, and I skipped the episode on Wednesday because I was stuck. I was stuck in Arizona, and that was not fun, to be honest. So let's go over it. But that's why I had to skip an episode, because I was stuck in Arizona and I didn't get home till late, and then I couldn't record an episode on time, and it was just a whole thing. But yeah, I went to go visit my bestie, my cousin, in Phoenix, Arizona. She just moved out there last year, and went to go see her just to say hey, just to go chill. We went on a little bit of a hike and ran around the city, and it was just like good. You know, it was just good to get together with someone and, I don't know, do new things, because why not? And, you know, to see someone that you haven't seen in a while, and I missed her, and it was a good time. So, I was in Phoenix, and Arizona, it was fun. I feel like there's a little less to do in Phoenix than, like, in other, like, major cities, like in Denver and in Chicago and other places. But, it was a good time. On Saturday, we found, like, little markets to go to, and even those markets, for like whatever reason, like it was a Saturday and it was beautiful. It was like sunny and nice, but there wasn't a lot of people. And I was like, we're downtown at this like big market on a Saturday when it should be packed. I'm like, where's the people at? So I don't know. I don't know. There just seemed like a little less to do in Arizona, but that's okay. And I will say, like, sure, during the day, that day it happened to be sunny and it happened to be a nice day, but it was a little colder than I was expecting. Like, I'm such a noob. And my cousin was telling me that, like, yes, whenever someone is wearing shorts in the wintertime in Arizona, like, you know that they're either a tourist or a snowbird that is there for the winter. And because they're not dealing with actual winter and it's just Arizona winter, you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt and not worrying about it. But all the locals that live there year round, they're freezing. I saw a woman with a scarf and a hat and a jacket. And like, this was the beautiful Saturday that I was talking about. And I wasn't wearing a sweater. I was just wearing a t-shirt. And I was like, really? Is like that, but it's like that. And so I guess in the wintertime, that's how you can tell between the locals or the visitors or the snowbirds in the wintertime, is like based off of what you're wearing. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was cute. But yeah, afterwards, after spending a couple days there, I was trying to leave on Monday. And I was trying to leave Monday morning. I got out there to the airport. I fly standby. the boy, my fiance, he works for United Airlines, and it's cool because, yeah, I get to fly standby. I get this kind of the same perks that he does without having to work there. So thanks, babe. But yeah, tried to get on a flight back, straight back to Denver. But for whatever reason, all of the flights from Phoenix to Denver were like fully booked up, which, you know, I'd be fleeing Arizona too. But but yeah, they were just all booked up and like I couldn't get a standby seat. And there were a lot of people on standby trying to get out and like no one can do it. And so day one, I'm like, shit, I don't think I'm going to be able to leave. And I like tried to get on like 5 different flights on day one. I spent all day there. I spent like $60 at the bar at one point because I was just waiting for the next flight and I was over it and I was hungry and just drank a lot of beer because fuck it. And that's what I did. And then still couldn't get out of there. And I was like, shit. And then I had to have my cousin come and pick me up from the airport. And I went back to her place, got to sleep at her place one more night. And I was like, okay, well, we'll try again in the morning. And in the morning, I messed up because flights were still not looking great. Because you can see the numbers. You can see like how many seats are open, how many potential standbys can get on them. And so you can just try to do your best to like guesstimate on if you'll be able to get onto a flight. And so it wasn't looking good for day two. It still wasn't looking good. And so the boy was like, okay, well, what if I reroute you and we fly you to LA? And then from LA, you can fly to Denver because there's a lot of open seats from LA to Denver. And so I was like, okay, yeah, we can try it. But the problem was the flight was leaving at 6 a.m. So I had to get there like super duper early. And I was so drained and tired from like the day before. And I was like, okay, set the alarm, whatever, we got it. I didn't ask my cousin to take me to the airport that stinking early because it would have been like 4:30 in the morning. And so I get up at 4:30 and I immediately order an Uber. The Ubers were like really expensive. So I was like, screw that. I went to Lyft. Lyft was cheaper, but I had to wait like 15 minutes for the Lyft to get there. And so I'm like, ooh, okay, he's going to set me back a little bit more on time. He finally got there and I'm already leaving late. And then as we're on our way there, I mean, I was happy about it. I wasn't going to report this or anything like that, but my Lyft driver was definitely speeding. I didn't ask him to speed. I didn't tell him I was running late. I just was like, yeah, I'm going to the airport. And he just happened to be speeding. And I was okay with that because I was running late. But by the time I got to the airport, I was not expecting security to be so busy that early in the morning, but it was. And I was like, fuck, I'm not going to make this flight. And I missed the flight by literally 3 minutes. By 3 minutes, they had closed the door and I couldn't get on the airplane anymore. I mean, I had like the notification on my phone, like there was a seat open. I did get a seat technically, but I didn't make it in time. So I was like, shit, this sucks. So spent the whole day there again, day two, trying to get on another flight, direct flight from Phoenix to Denver. And then I tried to get on another flight from Phoenix to LA and I didn't make that one. There wasn't enough standby seats. So I tried again from Phoenix to Denver. And I keep missing it. Cause there's no seats available. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to go home. So finally we have one more shot. There was one more flight going to LA to go to Denver and I made it. And not only did I make that flight from Phoenix to LA, but I also got first class and I was like, fuck yes. And so I drank myself some wine on that plane and they gave us snacks and it was good. But I mean, it was only like a 1 hour flight. So I was like, I mean, first class is always great, but it was only like 1 hour, whatever. Had a glass of wine and that was it. Cause of course I was going to take my free alcohol 100%. And then get to LA, quickly get to the next gate that I need to get to Denver. Cause that flight's nearly taking off. I had like maybe half an hour to get to the next gate so that I can try to get on this next flight to Denver. And luckily it was right there. It wasn't too hard to navigate or anything. So I get there and then I get another first class ticket. Yeah. And this flight, it was a little less than 2 hours. It was like an hour 45, I think he said. And from LA to Denver. So I got first class for another hour 45. It all worked out. I got a meal. They gave us dinner they like served us champagne when we did like first got on the flight. I was like, okay, first class, I'll see you. That was technically those two times in one day, technically the first time that I've ever flown first class. I've flown business class before, but that was the first time that I got first class, and it was pretty sweet. And it was just like, I don't know, I had to spend 2 days in the friggin' airport, and it seemed like a little bit of a reward for me, even though it wasn't. It just like happened to be. It was by chance completely, but I was like, yeah, I spent 2 days in this bullshit airport in this bullshit state, and I just want to go home. And I spent so much money at the airport buying food. I went to a Panera at the airport, and it cost me $7 for a little cup of broccoli and cheddar soup. $7 for a cup. That's not a bread bowl, just the cup. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was stupid. I just spent so much money on food and stuff there, and I was just so over it. And so I just felt like it was a reward that I got first class on the way back to Denver, finally. So thank goodness for that. But this whole experience kind of reminded me of the time that I was stuck in Hong Kong, China. Yeah, that was a thing before. Let me tell you about this story. So this was in 2016. I remember that because that was the year of like the Killer Clowns. That was also just like another bad year for me. Like, you know, when you have your bad years, like those years stick out for you. And for me, it was 2016. And of course, 2021, the last year and everything that I've been going through. But 2016 was another hell year for me. But I was still just trying to make the most of it and just do my thing and have some fun. And the boy and I were dating. And so, yes, I had flight benefits. And I have a friend, I met him down in college at SIUC, Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. His name is Darren. And he is from Malaysia. And he was a student and he was going to SIU. And I had met him and we had become really good friends while he was there. And since then, he's gone back to Malaysia, but we've always kept in touch. And so after keeping in touch and we were talking one day, he's like, oh my gosh, it would be so cool if you came to Malaysia and you came out here and I could show you around and I'll be your tour guide and I know the language and everything. And it would be so cool. And I was like, dude, let's do it. So I did it and I got to fly on the boy's flight benefits to Singapore. I met him in Singapore. So fly from Chicago. I flew out of Chicago to Singapore. It was a super long flight. I just had like a regular schmegular chair. I had my little like neck pillow. I was a little hunched over. I was a little sore once I got off the plane, but I was like, you know what? That's fine because this flight barely cost me anything. FYI, for anyone who's just interested, when you fly standby, you do have to pay taxes like on international flights. So for like domestic flights, flying from like Arizona to Denver to LA to Denver to, you know, wherever, I don't have to pay anything for that. But international flights, you do have to pay like taxes and stuff like that. So for me flying to Singapore, it was only a couple hundred dollars, maybe if that, and it was awesome. So I got there, I was a little crunched up in the seat, but you know what? It's okay. It was like a 16-hour flight or something like that. I think 16 sounds right. And then finally get there, I meet up with my friend Darren. He's there in Singapore and I find him in the airport and we're like, yeah, gonna do all the things and go run around Singapore. He showed me there's like that boat building that Singapore has and like on the bay, and it was just really cool. And we checked out like they had like Chinatown in Singapore and they had like Indian town in Singapore too. And it just had like, I just tried out all the street foods and just seeing the culture and just seeing all the little shops and the little marketplaces. And it was just so, so cool. And then afterwards we had bought flights from Singapore to Langkawi, Malaysia. And that's like a little island in Malaysia, and flights to buy a flight out there. I think we flew Air Asia. And it was so cheap. It was like $60. I was like, hell yeah. So we bought a flight from Singapore to Langkawi, this little island in Malaysia. And I got like the full like island experience. We walked through a rainforest. There was a waterfall. There was like monkeys begging for food. I took a video of like monkeys getting it on. It was it was a lot of fun. So I got the full experience. And the Airbnb we stayed at, it was really cool because it was like a farm. It was a farm that we had stayed on, and they had these little huts that they Airbnb'd out. And so you had like different rooms and stuff in these huts or wherever, but it was all on one property. It was on this farm. And so every day too, they had like cattle running around and stuff. And then there was like rice fields as well, just outside of it. And it was like a 5-minute walk to the beach. And there's like monkeys walking on like the power lines ahead of it. Was the coolest trip. It was such a good trip. After that, we went to the main city. We flew out of Langkawi off of this island. We went into the main part of Malaysia. We went to Kuala Lumpur, and that's like the big, big city in Malaysia, like super busy. It's like the New York of Malaysia, I guess you could say. That's how you could compare it. And it has the two, they call it the Twin Towers. So they has the Twin Towers there and a lot of rooftops. And we went to like a underground speakeasy. It was a speakeasy before all the speakeasies came back to America. And it was really cool. And I know speakeasies have always been around, but still. Anyway, it was just really, really cool. And I got to see, that's where Darren is from. He's from Kuala Lumpur, the main city there. And so I got to see, you know, his spot and meet some of his friends. They came out for a while with us to like the speakeasy and the bars and stuff. And it was just really, really cool. And after that, it was time for me to go back home. Cause at this point it had been like over a week. I think I was there in total, like maybe 10 days. That's usually how my vacations work out. And then it's time to go back home. So I flew from Kuala Lumpur back to Singapore in order to try to get back home, but also flying standby, right? So go back to Singapore. I'm in the Singapore airport, which by the way, the Singapore airport, if you ever make it there, like explore things to do in the Singapore airport before you leave. And that sounds weird because no one wants to really hang around an airport, but they've tried to make it an attraction. They have like a movie theater in there. I think they have like, I don't have a theme park, but they have, I don't know. They just have all sorts of stuff there. Okay. So just check it out. The Singapore airport is legit. Anyway, I get back to Singapore and I'm trying to fly out back to O'Hare in Chicago. Flying standby, and I'm playing the standby game, and it's not looking great. And I'm like, So I ended up not making it day one in Singapore. So day two in Singapore, I slept in the airport, by the way, like alone by myself near a closed restaurant alongside a post on the floor. I like looped my bags around my arm and I looped another bag around my arm. And then I went to sleep with my bags attached to me and my arms crossed so that no one would like grab a bag and run. It was attached to me. So I slept in the airport, but you do what you gotta do. So the next day, flights are still not looking great. And I'm of course connected to the Wi-Fi. I'm in contact with the boy. And afterwards, it just still wasn't looking awesome. And so I was like, shoot, I don't know what to do. And I ended up purchasing a flight from Singapore to Hong Kong, China. And that's because United also flies out of Hong Kong into O'Hare, and the flights were looking better there. So I bought a $50 flight for the next day to go to Hong Kong from Singapore. But I was like, I don't want to sleep in the airport again. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. Plus, I had like the whole day I had to do overnight and then go back to the airport the next morning in order to fly to Hong Kong. So I'm like, I'm not going to stay in this airport. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm just going to go get a hotel. I learned the train system in Singapore already. It's really easy out there. So I felt confident that I would be able to navigate my way from the airport back to wherever I can get a hotel. So the boy is playing travel agent for me, which he hates doing, but he loves me. So he did it. And he's like, okay, let me find you a hotel. He goes online and he's just searching for like the cheapest hotel that he can possibly find. And so he found this hotel for me and I look it up on like the train route or wherever. I'm like, okay, it's right by a couple blocks off of this stop, whatever. I can totally manage to get there. So I get there and there's a lot of people around and Singapore is a very clean place. They're very serious about that. Like, you get jail time if you're chewing gum and spit it on the street, or like spit on the street in general. Like I think gum is freaking outlawed in Singapore or something like that. So Singapore is serious about the cleanliness of their city. So I get there and I'm in kind of like a dirtier area. Like, I just looked around and I just noticed it and I'm like, this isn't like the rest of Singapore, but okay. So I'm walking and I'm navigating and I get to my hotel and I find my hotel. And I don't know the language. And in Singapore, I mean, some people speak English, some people speak broken English, and some people just don't. And so you have to figure it out. And so I get there and I get to the hotel and I was a little bit early for my check-in. So they wouldn't let me check in, but he was like, if you want, I can hold your bags and you can come back later so you can check in. And I was like, okay. But the guy, again, it was like broken English and we were just trying our best to communicate. He asked, he's like, are you alone? Do you have anyone else? And I was like, no, it's just me. Which red flag, red flag, red flag. If you are a female traveling, this is important to know. If anyone is asking you, hey, are you alone? That is a red flag because then they know that you're alone and it can put you in a dangerous situation. So that was my bad on my part saying like, yes, I'm alone. But he kept asking, are you alone? And I was like, this is weird. So I gave him my bags and then I was like, okay, let me go find like an internet cafe or a Starbucks or something. And there was like not a single Starbucks in this area. And this area, like I said, it was like a little bit junky. And I was like, where am I right now? So I had to go onto the train, get into like a nicer area of Singapore in order to find a freaking Starbucks so I can get on their Wi-Fi. Got on their Wi-Fi, communicated with the boy, said, yeah, I found the hotel. They won't let me check in yet, but it was just really weird. I got weird vibes. And then I'm messaging my friend Darren, who he knows the area very well. And he's like, well, tell me where your hotel is. So I showed him on a map where my hotel was. And he's like, Nina, you're in the red light district. And I was like, no!
No!
He's like, yeah, the guy was probably asking if you were going to be alone because he thinks that you were prostituting and maybe bringing people back to that hotel. And I was like, I was mistaken for a prostitute in Singapore. That's kind of cool, but no. So obviously didn't feel safe doing that. No. So I immediately get on the phone and I tell the boy, I'm like, I'm in the red light district. This is dangerous. I'm not okay with this. Plus my bag is there. Like they're probably stealing shit out of my bag right now. I'm like, this is not good. So he immediately like cancels the reservation. Luckily, he was able to cancel the reservation. So he cancels the reservation. And then I booked myself another hotel in a different area that we had been in before that I knew was okay. I booked my hotel in like Chinatown, Singapore. So it was a little bit more expensive, but I was like, screw that. It's worth it. That's okay. And so I had to go back and get my bags from this creepy guy who thought I was a prostitute. And then, yeah, I was like, sorry. And he was just like laughing at me because like I think he kind of figured it out too. And yeah, it was just a whole thing. So yeah, I was mistaken for a prostitute in Singapore that one time. Yeah. But I grab my bag from him. I make my way to the new hotel. And this hotel was just so much better. I took a little nap because I was really tired. And then I was hungry for dinner. And luckily, I mean, I was right in the middle of it. I was in the middle of Chinatown and it was really cool. So it was like all the markets and everything like that, all the street food. And so it was a safer area for me to be. So I went and I got food. I drank some tiger beer and went back to my hotel and just went to sleep. And the next day, I must have had an extra day. I had an extra day there before my flight to Hong Kong to try to get back home. And by the way, I'm running out of days because like I got to get back to work. I was working. So I was like, shit, I got to get back soon. But this was like my only hope to make it to Hong Kong in order to get back in time. So I had to spend another day in Singapore, which, you know, no complaints, but also I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I had to check out of my hotel. So I checked out of my hotel. My flight wasn't until later in the evening. So I had all day. And so I was like, I'm going to go explore Singapore one more time because why wouldn't I? And so I was checking out of the hotel and I was speaking English, obviously, and someone else was checking out of the hotel and he was American and he heard me speaking English and he was also checking out. It was like the same checkout time. And so check out. And then as I'm walking away to like go get lunch or whatever at the market, he stops me. He goes, hey, I noticed you were speaking English. Are you American? And I was like, oh yeah, I am American. Hi. And we just kind of made friends with each other. I forgot his name, to be honest. We added each other on Facebook, but I forgot his name. But anyway, he was like, I have another day in Singapore and I don't know what to do around here. I'm just here by myself. Like, I'm not trying to be weird or anything. Like, I'm just a dude. I'm from LA. I'm here. Would you want to hang out? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. New adventures. I'm gonna keep my eye on you, but new adventures, let's do it. So we hung out and I told him about this park. It's not a theme park, but I think they call it a theme park in Singapore. And I wanted to check it out because my friend Darren told me about it. And it's like this park full of statues, all these different statues that tell different stories, like mythological stories and I don't know, just fairy tales and stories. I don't know, just different stories that are within the culture. And there are all these statues that tell all these stories and you can walk through. And it's also like a garden. And I was like, the train takes you right there. Would you be interested in going to see this? Because I was interested in going to see this. And he was like, hell yeah, let's go. So we go and we go to this park and it was very interesting. There's all these different statues. We learned a couple different stories. You go through this tunnel. I think it's called like the tunnel of hell or something like that. And it's like the 7 or 9 stages of hell or something like that. And it's just based off of like, hey, if you're a good person, you won't have to go through any of these. But if you're a bad person, depending on the level of badness that you lived your life, you will be in this portal of hell. So it's like different things like theft. And they had these little statues of like these little devil creatures, like sticking nails into your skin all over your body. And that's because you were a thief your whole life. And so that's the portal, the level of hell that you were in. And then there's other things like murder and stuff. And then it's like a even more intense form of torture. And it shows you the different phases of torture that you go through for that. So it was really interesting. It really, really was. But it was a little, yeah, grotesque and gruesome and just like, oh, damn. Like, okay, kind of makes you think a little bit. But it was very interesting and it was really cool. And I made a new friend out of it. And we hung out, we did that activity together. And then afterwards we split our own way because I had to catch a flight later on and I don't know what he was doing. So yeah, it was really cool to see and very interesting. So I finally am at the point where I'm like, okay, gotta go. Time to go home. This has definitely been an adventure, but get me the freak out of here. So go back to the Singapore airport to catch my flight that I had purchased to Hong Kong. Again, I believe it was on AirAsia, and it was like $50. So worth it to get me home. I flew to Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong for, gosh, maybe 3 hours to try to catch this flight. And so I'm checking in and I had to check a bag and they can tell like, oh yeah, you're checking a bag. Okay, but you're standby. And when you're flying standby, there are rules. There are rules. There is definitely a dress code and you have to agree to this dress code. Remember a couple years ago, United Airlines got into a little bit of trouble with this girl who was wearing leggings and they said, no, you can't get on the flight because you're wearing leggings. That bitch was in the wrong because she was flying standby. And that's one of the rules is you cannot wear leggings or athletic wear or jeans with holes in it. You have to look just a little bit more presentable. And that is because there's always a chance for you to make it to first class or business class. And you just have to wear something that's a little bit more respectful to the revenue paying customers that they have on the flight. And that is the reason for those rules. I'm totally cool with those rules. So I get there. I'm exhausted. I am so tired. I didn't have any makeup on. My hair was just up in a bun. And I was wearing jeans, which you're allowed to wear jeans. They didn't have any holes in them. I was totally fine. And I was just wearing a top and like a sweater. But again, exhausted, bags under my eyes, dark circles under my eyes, no makeup. My hair was like in a messy bun. And the lady at the gate was like, okay, you're flying standby. You need to go change. She's like, this isn't acceptable. And I was like, really? Because technically I was acceptable, but there are different standards. And not trying to bring up anything bad or anything, but like this is China and they happen to be sometimes just a little bit more formal and just very by the book, very by the rules. So this stewardess, she asked me kindly, please go change and look more presentable. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay. And like, she wouldn't check me in until I came back in a more presentable outfit. And so the only thing that I had left that was clean, kind of, was a dress. A pretty short dress, and I'm in the airport. It's cold. I'm like, oh my God, I fucking hate this. So I'm wearing a dress and some closed-toed shoes because you have to wear closed-toed shoes. And so I'm wearing this dress and I throw some makeup on and I put my hair down and I go back to the gate and she's like, okay, much better. And I was like, oh, I hate you. But whatever, she made me change. And so I get to the gate and I'm waiting on standby. And I'm in communication with the boy and he's helping me out. And he's like, it's looking good. I think you're going to be okay. And I was like, okay. And finally my name gets called up and they call me up and they're like, we actually have some room on this flight. You can fly business class on the way home. And I was like, oh, really? What does that mean? But I'll take it. So I flew business class on this international flight from Hong Kong back to Chicago O'Hare. And that experience is an experience I will never forget because I was just so like defeated at this point. Like, sure, I had a fun day beforehand because I made it fun for myself, but I made it fun for myself because I was very sad. And I was in a low point. I was like, I just want to go home. So I think that's why I made myself go have fun. But I was exhausted. I spent more money than I really wanted to. And I just wanted to go home. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to go home. So getting business class on the way back, again, it was like, well, I was stuck, and it ended up working out. And then I was like, first class, business class, okay. Which, by the way, on an international flight, I have no idea what the difference is between business class and first class. Because when I was on business class on this flight from Hong Kong, I don't know what else you can do to make it better for first class because I was technically business class. My seat went completely flat, like a bed, so I could sleep, which I definitely did. They served us a 4-course meal. We had courses. I'm talking like cheese and port in between to refresh your palate. It was amazing. It was really awesome. And I had like a 4-course meal. They literally brought it out in courses, unlimited alcohol, any snacks that I possibly wanted. You know, you had the TV there. I had blankets. They gave me the hot towel, the whole thing. And my seat laid completely flat into a bed for this 16-hour flight. I was like, this is business class? What is first class on this? I don't even know like what else you can upgrade. So I was like, you know, you can call it business class all you want. I'm just gonna say this is first class because I don't know what else you can do to improve it. So it was pretty sweet. And it ended up being okay and an amazing trip other than like the slight frustration and slight fear when I was in the red light district. That's okay. Now I can use that saying, hey, one time I was mistaken as a prostitute in Singapore. Like, what? That doesn't happen to people. Anyway, this whole experience in Arizona and getting stuck there and then coming home on first class just reminded me of that time that I went to Singapore and got stuck there and came home on first class. So sometimes it works out. Like, standby is really, 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 really great in every single way until it's not. Just until it's not working out for you. And then when you get stuck somewhere for 2 days, you're like, fuck. And then you're starting to look up flights that you can just purchase and like, you know, do I just want to, okay, screw it and spend all this money on it? Or do I want to keep trying? We'll still try to find different routes. I mean, I had to fly further away to LA from Arizona in order to get back home, which is like annoying, but it's what I had to do. And so, yeah, flying standby, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And if you got to sleep in the airport, you got to sleep in the airport. If you got to spend $50 on another hotel, you got to spend $50 on another hotel. If you got to spend $7 on a cup of soup at Panera, yes, spend $7 on a cup of soup at Panera. So that's my story for you in case you ever start to have the opportunity to fly standby because it is really wonderful. And like, I sound a little bit like I'm complaining, but really I'm not. I love it. I will not give up standby for nothing except for, you know, if the boy changes careers or anything happens, but I hope that doesn't happen ever. Okay. So please keep your job, the boy, because I like that too. So I'm going to skip, get into it. Yeah, I know it's on the list of things to do today, but this is already a pretty long episode and I'm going to skip it because really, there's nothing going on except for Kim and Kanye, and Kim is single. She's going to be Kim Kardashian. The West is going to be dropped. Kanye, we don't know what he's doing. He's dating this lookalike, Kim Kardashian. Like, bro, we know what you're doing. Like, stop. And then the whole Pete Davidson music video where he, like, kidnapped and beat and buried a claymation Pete Davidson. Just not going to say any more on that. But there's nothing really more to talk about other than Kim and Kanye. And that's what it is. So I love you so much. Thank you for listening to episode 17. I'm so sorry I had to skip an episode before earlier this week. But is Breakfast Burrito Friday, so we're still going to celebrate that a little bit. We'll play the song again.
You know what it is?
Yeah. Recording this on 303 day. So, happy 303 day, Denver!
It's breakfast burrito!
Denver and breakfast burritos, they go hand in hand! If you know, you know! And check out my shirt if you're watching on YouTube. It's Blucifer and Blue Bear fighting in the city of Denver. Okay, I love you, bye!